Welcome to the 13th episode of Redemption. Today, we explore how modern deposit return systems can work alongside existing curbside recycling programs, particularly thinking about the impact on material recovery facilities, commonly known as MRFs. The top line answer is that a modern DRS can and should be designed with consideration for MRFs, both operationally and financially. MRFs will definitely see fewer beverage containers flow through their facilities because they'll be redeemed by consumers instead. That means a revenue loss due to less higher value materials. But MRFs will also see fewer materials such as glass that are costly to process. So the transition to a well-designed DRS should enable MRFs to intercept deposit-eligible materials coming through their facilities and improve and expand their ability to process additional materials. Policymakers can also require that a portion of unclaimed deposit revenue be used to reimburse MRFs or municipalities for lost revenue or to cover the cost of handling the beverage containers that residents place in their curbside bins. While DRS legislation needs to include clear system rules that allow for MRF participation, it can ensure that MRFs are compensated for their costs and losses and that they remain viable while the recycling system adapts to the introduction or expansion of DRS. However, MRF participation should be limited and carefully implemented in order to ensure efficient and effective beverage container collection and closed-loop recycling. To understand how this would all work on the ground, I talked to the operator of a MRF in Minnesota and a MRF expert in Australia. I'm really pleased to welcome back to Redemption Lynn Hoffman, Vice President of Eureka Recycling, a nonprofit zero-waste organization and social enterprise recycler based in Minneapolis, Minnesota. Lynn is also the National Coordinator of AMBER, the Alliance of Mission-Based Recyclers. Who better to talk about MRFs and DRS? Lynn, you're in a very unique place in that you are a recycler. You understand the supporters and why they're driving this. You also understand the perspective of those that have real concerns. How do you manage that?
Yeah, it is. It's a nuanced position to hold, but I think it feels like a really important one. The concern about losing some of the most valuable material out of a MRF, that is real. I mean, aluminum cans are a very small percentage of our material by weight, you know, like 5 or 6%, but they can be up to 40% of our revenue. And nobody knows. Nobody's put a DRS system in the U.S. on top of a mature recycling system. We haven't had a new one in decades. So we know that it's very likely DRS is going to increase capture and increase recycling. But where those cans are going to come from, there's an awful lot still in the trash, even in Minneapolis. There's a lot of access. There's a lot of education, really great recycling rates. And still, 50% of aluminum cans are going into the burner. And so we know we need tools that'll scale and grow to get those out of the trash. But it's also probably real that a lot of them that are going to MRFs now will go to redemption centers too. And so really, we've thought a lot about, okay, what does that look like? We've done a lot of modeling just with our own numbers. And what would happen if we lost 10% of our aluminum, 50% of our PET? There's all kinds of toggles. Having glass go through redemption centers instead of MRFs could be a really good thing. Glass is in, as the move to single stream has happened, it's really been a challenge in a lot of ways. And so, you know, I think through redemption centers might be a better path for that material. But glass is also really heavy. And so you take that out, and that's a big hit on the per ton fee that MRFs are getting. It's disruptive, but that doesn't mean it's not solvable. What are the other policy tools that we can build a suite of systems that are going to work really well together so that we are increasing recycling of beverage containers?
What is the optimal way for a modern DRS to handle or to accommodate material recovery facilities? I mean, talk a little bit about, as you see it, the role of MRFs and DRS and their potential participation.
Sure. You know, and there's a lot to still be explored. To us, I think the simplest path would be for MRFs to receive the portion, at least, of the redemption value of the containers that they do still process and manage. We think it's reasonable that the MRF doesn't get the full refund value. You're not creating as high quality material as a redemption center would. But certainly, I think a portion of it, 80%, 60%, something like that, depending on a few things. And I think that what that provides then is that each MRF is going to need different strategies, different capital improvements and investments to make to adjust as this continues. As long as the quality and performance standards are clear, I think given the resources to invest to meet those, MRFs know how to do that. That's what they're best at. That's the important thing in EPR DRS is really clear performance and quality standards, and then the ability to finance and invest in those upgrades that MRFs need to meet those and to meet this evolving system. So whether it's the redemption fee or it's a handling fee or it's a, you know, whatever it is, but making sure that MRFs are resourced to meet the changes and to evolve with the system.
That's something that comes up in the context of the use of unclaimed deposits. When you have a deposit return system in place, you hopefully can achieve really high recovery rates, but there will always be some percentage of unclaimed deposits. You know, one of the things that ReLoop has said very consistently is that that money can be used very effectively to enable a smooth transition and to support MRFs in that transition. So what do you think policymakers should pay attention to when thinking about how to allocate unclaimed deposit revenue with regard to MRFs?
I think in terms of like what's embedded in the policy itself, again, I think performance standards and quality standards are going to be really critical tied to those things, and flexibility, I think, for facilities to make the investments that they need to participate in the system.
And what are some of those investments?
So I think it's important to say that while it's not going to be as pure of a stream as coming out of Redemption Center, there should be regular quality audits for MRFs. There's got to be that are tied to the ability to get that refund, right? So we're not saying like MRFs should just be putting bowling balls in their PET bales and getting the redemption value, you know, which I think is a concern that we hear often and is real. I think that, again, recycling in the U.S. needs improvement and material quality is one of those things, and we need investments to do it.
At Redemption, we're always looking to learn from other states and countries about what works best when it comes to making the transition to a circular economy. For MRFs and DRS, I turned to my ReLoop colleague, Robert Kelman, Director of Asia Pacific Region, to find out the latest from Australia. In your experience, what is the optimal way for a modern deposit return system to handle the participation of material recovery facilities, either from New South Wales or other places?
All Australian states and territories have slightly different container return schemes. There's a uniformity around the deposit level, and which is 10 cents and various things like that. And most of the eligible containers are much the same. There's some sort of slight variations on the edges. But in addition to that, all of them include MRF returns. So people's curbside bin, the material eligible containers that go into the curbside bin and then obviously go through the MRF are eligible for the MRF to redeem the refund against.
Talk about the participation of MRFs in the DRS, particularly in New South Wales. And, you know, it's not necessarily black or white, good or bad, but we understand from our key stakeholders that it's a really hot button issue here. If pursued incorrectly, could really lead to some lopsided outcomes.
Consumers obviously can use their curbside bin at home to dispose of all of their packaging material. And we have pretty much universal curbside coverage across the country. And any remnant eligible containers can be separated out by the MRF and then redeemed for that 10 cents. Often what happens is the councils, municipalities, will share that revenue between them and the MRF operator. You know, they'll come up with some sort of an agreement around the value of that material. But for sure, MRFs have hugely benefited from a container refund scheme. So the MRF basically can then go on a weight-based audit system. So they don't have to have technology. They can just do it by weight. The scheme coordinator will say, okay, if you deliver us from the MRF a ton of PET, we will pay you out against 12,000 containers, $1,200 of the 10 cent refund. You will get $1,200 a ton, plus you can sell that material for whatever PET value is.
Does it have to do with the redemption not being easy or collection points being hard to find?
there's a couple of factors there, right? 10 cents is not a big driver for a lot of consumers to go and get. You know, if we had the equivalent of many of those European schemes, it'd be 40 cents, which would be roughly, I don't know, 30 US cents. That's a substantial amount to look for. And then the other issue is we don't have return to retail collection system in across Australia. There is voluntary participation of some retailers who do, you know, take containers back. They have setups out in the car park or something like this. And we don't have the penetration of the numbers of collection points either. Across Europe, it's roughly on average one collection point per 1,000 people. And most of European schemes are returned to retail legislated requirement. So you have this kind of saturation, really, of convenience into those countries and a meaningful refund value. So we don't have those. We're looking at one collection point per 10,000 or 12,000, or in some areas, 15,000 people. I mean, the levels of convenience are just very poor. So people then choose to use their curbside bin. We have pretty much universal coverage across the country. There are gaps in sort of remote areas for curbside collection. So, and consumers are used to it. We've had it across many jurisdictions for 20, 30 years. So in that particular case, consumers are just choosing to dispose of all of their packaging into the curbside bin and the eligible CRS containers go in with it. You know, I wouldn't be pointing to Australia as best-in-class container refund schemes. We have them. It's better than not having them. They have doubled the rate of recycling. They've massively reduced the rate of littering of those containers. But our average collection, including MRF collections, is about 65% across the country. It's a long way from, you know, really amazing, isn't it? You know, we should and could be at 90% plus. But nevertheless, we're not.
Thanks to all our listeners who are so committed to learning about modern deposit return systems and the environmental and economic benefits they bring to our communities. In this 13th episode of Redemption, we talked with Lynn Hoffman, Vice President of Eureka Recycling. From her wealth of experience, Lynn shared a very nuanced yet practical approach on how MRFs can be integrated into modern DRS. And we heard from Robert Kelman, ReLoop's Director for the Asia-Pacific region, on how MRFs in Australia have really benefited from the implementation of a beverage container refund system there. Thank you all for joining us at the Redemption Podcast. In our next episode, we will explore the strategic connection between deposit return systems and extended producer responsibility. It's a hot topic that is often misunderstood. So as always at Redemption, we will try to shed more light by talking to the experts. In the meantime, don't forget to visit bottlebillreimagined.org to download the guide to modern deposit return systems or subscribe to our newsletter, Bottle Bill Common Ground. You can also leave a review on Redemption wherever you listen to your podcasts. And remember, working together from a common ground of knowledge about what makes a modern deposit return system work, we can move good bottle bills forward.